Mark chapter 3, verses 33 through 35. Mark chapter 3, verses 33 through 35. I'll be reading from the NIV. "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother."
God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, brothers, your faith can be tested when you're told at 8:30, "Hey, Doug speaking, I'm sick. Can you preach tomorrow?" And I went, "I got you, brother." That doesn't mean my faith wasn't tested a little bit in the sense that I needed to pray. So we're going to start off this lesson with a prayer. If you would, bow your heads. Father God in heaven, we love you so dearly. We want to serve you in everything that we do in our lives. As we're going to be diving into the passage, Mark 3, this morning, Father, I pray that you be with our hearts and minds, and I pray that we come to understand the truth that is in your word. So, really fun topic, Father God, if you ask me, when we're studying this, studying this section of Scripture, God. Please be with me. I pray that I preach your word. I pray that our hearts and minds are open to your word. So in Jesus' name we pray all this. Amen. So, last night, I'm forming my lesson, and every now and then, you know, you're working on something, you just got to take a brain break. One of my brain breaks in just about everything is to play chess. Do you have any chess players in the audience? I'm actually, oh, Dan, okay, we're going to play it later. I want to get good, so that's why I want to play some of y'all in chess. But I had to play chess. And you know, the thing about chess, if you want to get good at it, you got to learn. You got to sit and talk to people who know what they're doing. This day, you can watch about any YouTube video and you can learn strategies regarding chess pretty easily. So, I know some of y'all are going to be just about tired of seeing this passage, but it's so powerful. I want us to remember this together. And I would ask that you read along with me out loud. Here we go. "Be diligent to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth." Thank you for doing that. We should all be doing our best to learn about God. We can present ourselves to Him as ones approved. Therefore, we have no need of shame with this. We are able to teach others the word of truth. And this scripture should always be motivating for each and every person that seeks to show ourselves to God as ones approved. It should always be motivating. I'm probably throwing a lot of scriptures at y'all, and some of y'all are going, why did Brother Matt read that passage? Well, turn your Bibles to Mark 3. That's basically where we're going to be. While you're turning to Mark chapter 3, I'm going to read something for you. Matthew chapter 7. Starting in verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name?' Then I will announce to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers.'" We were able to look at this a little bit in our Bible class this morning, those of us in the fellowship hall studying churches in the shape of Scripture, how this passage should be a bit of an awakener for each of us. When we read this passage, Jesus says that many will come to me saying, "Lord, Lord, didn't I do all these things in your name? I was serving you, I was following you." But Jesus says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Jesus says those, the only ones that come into the kingdom of heaven are those who do the will of his Father, who is also our Father. So with that, we slowly make our way to Mark chapter 3. And the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, commonly known as the unforgivable sin. I'll guarantee some of y'all just woke up, because I believe that every person at one point in their life hears about the unforgivable sin and goes, "What is that?" Be because I don't want to do that. And when you read passages such as Mark 3, 28 through 29, this is Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for all sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin." So all sins can be forgiven, except this one. So maybe you're not like me, but if you are like me, when studying this passage, at first, I go, "Oh man, I do not want to do that sin." And I can't say it enough. You do not want to do that sin. That's what you're probably thinking. So, turn with me. If you're already there, Mark 3. I sure do appreciate it. Mark 3. I want to set the scene. This is Mark's portrait. I thought that one was going to be a little bit higher. My bad, y'all. Mark 3. Let's start in verse 20. Jesus entered a house, and the crowd gathered again so that they were not even able to eat. There are so many people in this crowd trying to hear Jesus that no one is even able to eat. When his family heard this, they set out to restrain him because they said, "He's out of his mind." Can we picture this for a moment? The Messiah has been doing miracles. People are in this house crammed together. No one's able to eat. Jesus' own family, these are his brothers and sisters and his mother, are thinking he has gone crazy. The Messiah, the Son of God, they're thinking he's gone nuts. Verse 21 says, they set out to restrain him because the crowd was so large and packed in the house that nobody could eat, and they're saying this as his own family. I can't stress that enough. He's out of his mind. That's scene number one. Scene number two, we go into verse 22, if you would please read with me. The scribes who had come down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and he drives out demons by the ruler of the demons." So Jesus is performing exorcisms. He's casting out demons from these people. And they say he's doing it by the power of Satan. Verse 23, so he summoned them and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Everyone, I think some people think Abraham Lincoln started this. No, Jesus started long before Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, great, great president. Jesus is a lot greater. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand but is finished. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder his house. And this is where we get into these little bit intimidating verses. Truly, I tell you, people will be forgiven for all sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness but is guilty of an eternal sin. Because they were saying he has an unclean spirit. So these scribes, Jesus has just said, "You just committed the unforgivable sin." And I probably have your attention because you're waiting to know, okay, well, Caleb, can we do this? Can we commit this unforgivable sin? Let's first look at, in this second scene, we're going to take a moment, have a deep dive into this second scene. Mark 3, 22 through 30. Where Jesus convicts them of committing the unforgivable sin, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. He, number one, points out how their accusation is illogical. Look back at the text again. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is finished. Think about this from an army standpoint. If an army wants to be successful, you don't work against each other. You work with each other. So they're saying you're working with Satan. Well, if he was, why would he be like hurting Satan? He's casting out demons. This is, number one, illogical. And Jesus points it out straight to him. Number two, their accusation is impossible. Look again, Mark chapter 3, verse 27. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder his house. He shows them how this is impossible. Jesus is saying, in order for me to cast out demons, I've got to have authority over all of them, even Satan himself. Jesus is basically saying, I've tied up Satan. I couldn't do this unless I had done so otherwise. Because he says, but no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder his house. Jesus used both of these arguments in Mark to prove one thing. There's no way Jesus cast out demons while being possessed by a demon himself or by Satan's authority. It just does not make sense. It's illogical and it's impossible. If you look at the other accounts of this, of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, you'll find them in Matthew 12 and Luke 11. We're studying Mark 3 for now. You can do a little bit deeper dive. I would encourage you to go read those passages. Right now we're just looking specifically at Mark's context and how he presents this. And then, after showing them how illogical and impossible this argument that they're making is, Jesus says, you have just committed the unforgivable sin, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. All sins can be forgiven except this one, and you just did it. Caleb, what does that mean? What does that mean, Caleb? Well, let's look at scene 3 real quick. Starting in verse 31. His mother and his brothers came. Okay, now we're back to his mothers and brothers. Remember, scene 1 is mother and brother. Scene 3, we're getting back into the mother and brother. And standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him and told him, look, your mother, your brothers, and your sisters are outside asking for you. He replied to them, who are my mother and my brothers? Looking at those sitting in a circle around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. So we see your family's here asking for you. And Jesus decides to drive home another point. Who is my family? You say my family's asking for me, but who is my family? Looking at those listening to his teaching, Jesus looks at all those who are listening to him, and he says, here's my family. Whoever does the will of God is my family, is what he says. And that's the close of Mark's account in regard to the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, looking at this context of Scripture. You're still thinking, Caleb, what is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? I don't want to do it. Well, the key is in verse 30. Mark 3, verse 30. Look at it one more time with me. Your translation is going to say something like this. It's going to end the quotations, and it's going to say, so Jesus says all this, and then starting in verse 30, because they were saying, he has an unclean spirit. So there's two common views in the brotherhood when it comes to the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit and what exactly it is. The reason we started out with 2 Timothy 2:15 is because this is not something that you should technically be learning from your preacher or the guy filling in. This should be something that each and every one of you should be confident that you can go home and study yourselves, to present yourself to God as one approved, rightly teaching the word of truth. And so I want you to understand this so you can go teach others. Your two common views. First one is that someone is to die, believing that Jesus and his words are not those of God. Dying believing that Jesus is not the Son of God, and attributing his powers to Satan, basically, not accepting his views. That's your first view. And your second view, which I would happen to agree with, this is where I align, is to say Jesus has an unclean spirit. You might be thinking, okay, well, that's the exact same thing you just said. Well, hear me out. In person, to say Jesus has an unclean spirit and to say it to his face. Well, here's the thing. It's 2023. Jesus is not physically walking around today. These scribes say he has an unclean spirit, and by the power of Satan, he casts out demons. And then it says, verse 30, he said this because they said Jesus had an unclean spirit. So my argument for this would be, There's a difference between dying unforgiven. There is a difference dying separated from Christ. John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. There is a way that you can die separated from Jesus because you did not go to the Father through him, and you are eternally lost. That is the number one. That's the number one view. But the number two view, which I would agree with, this is for someone who during this time physically saw Jesus walk the earth and said, he has an unclean spirit. They are attributing the works of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is physically and miraculously working through Jesus. He's performing miracles. He's casting out demons. And these people's hearts are so hard that they say, he has an unclean spirit. If you look at the other accounts in Matthew and Luke, he's going to say, if I do it by Satan's power, who do your guys exercise demons by? This doesn't make any sense. So, whether you take the first view or the second view, there's no difference for us to get in a big heated argument over these simple words. Because in the light of eternity, this doesn't really mean anything. We both agree you can't do this. So, there's a reason. Everyone should be sigh of relief. Okay, you can't commit the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit today. But there's a reason Mark structured his gospel account the way he did. Scene one, family. Scene two, they've committed the unforgivable sin. Scene three, goes back to family. He outlines who his true family is. Why did Mark sandwich this together? And that's where I want us to go into our big, deep dive study. The application is rather simple. When we started with 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want you to keep your minds on learning. Keep your minds on studying God's word and coming to the truth. We want to do everything in our power to the max level to study God's word. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, but only those who do the will of my Father. Mark 3, Jesus' family thinks he's crazy. The spiritual leaders commit the unforgivable sin and attribute his works to Satan's power. And Jesus gives us the reason kind of for this sandwich, as Brother Matt read for us in verses 34 and 35. Looking at those sitting in a circle around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. So this is where we get closer to the application. Are you being a brother? Are you being a sister? And are you being a mother to Jesus our Savior? Are you doing the will of God? Well, you might say, what is the will of God? That's when we get back to 2 Timothy 2:15. Doing our best to studying God's word so that we can do our best to live out his word. Jesus makes statements like, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Basically in everything you do. It's not even basically. It's in everything you do. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. He says things like, love your neighbors and pray for those who persecute you. Brothers, that can be hard at times. Someone comes up to you, doing all sorts of hand gestures at you, getting in your face, cussing you out. Remembering the words of Jesus can be hard to actually apply them. But Jesus says, follow me. He says things like, I tell you whoever looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. He says things like, everyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Jesus says things like, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. Jesus says things like, anyone who acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God, but whoever denies me before others will be denied before the angels of God. He says things like, unless you repent, you will all perish as well. Every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple, is what Jesus says. So where is your heart today? Are you following the will of God to the best of your ability? When you mess up, and if you say you don't mess up, I would encourage you to re-examine yourself. So when you do mess up, do you repent? 1 John 1, 8-10. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Are you doing the will of God? Or are you fighting against Jesus? Luke 11:23. Anyone who is not with me is against me. I pray this morning, maybe a little bit of a shorter lesson. Time moves weird when you're behind this pulpit. I pray that the lesson this morning has encouraged you to do your best, your absolute best, to serve God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. To remember what Jesus says in Mark 3, 33 through 35. Please read this once again, one more time with me out loud. He replied to them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" Looking at those sitting in a circle around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Are you doing God's will? Have you given your life to Jesus and are you following him? Let's pray real quick before we close. Father in heaven, we love you so dearly. We want to serve you in all of our ways. Father, we want to be family with your son. We want to be family with you. As we've just studied, why Mark outlined Mark 3 the way he did. Father God, the main message is clear. Are we living for you? Are our hearts hard? And are we not listening to Jesus' words? Or are we allowing our hearts to soak up your word and let it change our lives and then act upon it? Father God, I pray that this lesson this morning has touched each and every one here and that your words have worked on their hearts. Please forgive us when we fail you. And Father, I pray that in everything we're doing, we're serving you. And when we fail, and Father, we are going to fail. When we fail, I pray that we repent and we turn to you. We confess our sins to one another. Father, that's the most wonderful thing about this RTC program. We realize that everyone has sins and everyone has struggles. And we confess them to one another and we grow closer to you as your family because we are striving to do your will because we want to see you in heaven for eternity. Thank you for all that you do for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, have you been doing the will of God? Have you given your life to Christ? Galatians 3:27. For all those who have been baptized into Christ have been clothed in Christ. Are you clothed with Christ this morning? Maybe you've been going along and you've forgotten that coat that you're wearing. That Christ is, you are wearing Christ. You are in his body. Maybe you've forgotten what you've been a part of. And you want to repent of your sins and come back to God. If you have any needs this morning at all, I ask that you please come as we stand and as we sing.